bringing pro football to the Mid-South for nearly two decades.
It's a miracle!
Yes!
Good! Touchdown, Titans!
This is Titans Radio. Live from St. Thomas Sports Park, your exclusive chance to talk Titans football with the head coach. This is Titans Radio's Ken Wizard Hunt Show. Now, the voice of the Titans, Mike Keith.
Hello again, everybody, and welcome to the Ken Wizard Hunt Show on Titans Radio. You can dial in and talk to the coach at 877-848-2671, or you can tweet us a question at Titans Radio. That's at Titans Radio. The head coach will join us in just a few minutes. But glad to open the program with the man who will help call the game on television this week for Fox, Charles Davis. Thank you so much for joining us. It's good to have you with us.
Hey, Mike. Thanks for having me. It's good to hear your voice again.
All right. So explain the Atlanta Falcons to all of us who don't keep up with the NFC as closely as we keep up with the AFC. How have they gotten to 5-1?
Brand new head coach, then it's the same thing that every head coach comes in and says: change culture, new message, energy, we're going to take care of the football. Look, everyone has essentially the same formula. But this team bought in pretty quickly with him. I actually was there during preseason camp, and I remember walking away saying, this team has bought into Dan Quinn. Now, what that would translate into, I'm not sure, but they had felt stale despite the success they'd had with Mike Smith. And when you have a win to start your season over a team that many thought was going to the Super Bowl, because let's face it, in preseason, Mike, did people not start to engrave the Philadelphia Eagles onto the Lombardi Trophy?
Exactly.
Preseason, everybody went berserk, and once again, we have to keep remembering the 0-16 Lions went 4-0 in preseason that year. So let's temper things, but we always get caught up in it. Well, beating them was a huge deal. And then to have all these fourth-quarter comebacks along the way cemented the message and the belief in Dan Quinn. This will be a big tester for them, though, because by record, they were supposed to go down and beat New Orleans last Thursday night. I think any of us who follow NFL football felt like that was the ultimate. If you want to call it a trap game or whatever you want to call it, like, oh, this is bad for Atlanta. New Orleans was desperate, had to have it at home. They darn near recreated everything. Steve Gleason was being, of course, honored, and then they blocked the punt, and you know, that was just not, you know, no chance for them. So for them now, Mike, this is a huge week to get back off the mat and show that the early season success wasn't a fluke. And they struggled the last couple times out. They were fortunate to win in overtime against Washington. They got jumped on by New Orleans. Now they've got another game that everyone outside of this game is saying, well, that's one you should go win. Well, that's not that easy in the NFL.
I want to ask specifically about Dan Quinn due to the fact that I don't remember an assistant coach becoming a head coach and more people thinking that this guy was a sure thing in a long time. Why did so many people regard Dan Quinn as a sure thing becoming a head coach?
It's a great question, Mike, because I'm with you. As I kept hearing it, I've known Dan for a number of years. But I was thinking, wow, we're really selling this one pretty hard, aren't we? That Dan Quinn's going to make all this happen right away. Well, I think the reason people felt that is if you spend any time with him at all, you're drawn in right away. There's a personality and there's a force to his personality that's pretty something, pretty incredible. There's a positiveness to him, and there's a feeling of competence to him that what he's selling you, you want to buy pretty quickly. And then his track record, those last couple of years in Seattle, his time as a defense coordinator at Florida. He tells you about being aggressive. He shows you on tape how they were. He shows you about them being ball hawks. The Pete Carroll philosophy that starts with, it's all about the ball. Well, they lived that in Seattle pretty well, and people grasped onto it pretty quickly. And then, you know, he matched up pretty well because, let's face it, if you're going to take a job in the NFL, you want to match up with a quarterback. That's your key to success or your best shot at having success. He matched up with Matt Ryan. That's pretty darn good quarterback to start with, and things have worked out well. But I'm not sure any of us saw Devontae Freeman being the back that he's been so far in the early going.
Tom Brenneman will have the play-by-play. Tony Siragusa and our guest, Charles Davis, will call Tennessee Atlanta on Sunday at Nissan Stadium on Fox. Charles, ask you about Matt Ryan. How has he adapted to this new system offensively?
He's adapted very well, and Mike, you've known him since he came out of school. He's a drop back guy, big strong guy that stands firm in the pocket. Remember, he went 11-5 his rookie year, right to the playoffs, on a team that everyone was screaming, remember, take Glenn Dorsey from LSU. Don't take a quarterback. He's going to get beat up. You got to start with the line. And when they passed on Dorsey, everybody lost their mind, remember? Great pick by Thomas Dimitroff, the GM in Atlanta, has paid off well. Here's where he's adapted. The offensive system that Kyle Shanahan has brought in requires much more of stretch plays, bootlegs off the stretch, sprint-type passes, more movement out of the into the corner of the pocket as a quarterback than he's ever done in Atlanta. And he's adapted very well to that. Yes, he's had his bobbles along the way. He had a game where he had a couple of fumbles, you know, this, that, and everything. But all in all, this is a guy who's just the ultimate worker, and he took that playbook from day one and adapted his game to it. And so far, so excellent. Obviously, when Julio Jones is at full strength out wide, you're a much better quarterback. But Matt Ryan is running that offense with no protests, none of this. Let's just be honest about it. In Denver, all we've heard is Peyton adapting to Gary Kubiak? Is Gary Kubiak adapting to Peyton? You haven't heard a single thing about that in Atlanta, have you?
Not at all. Not at all. As you watch the Tennessee Titans on tape, Charles Davis, what do you see?
I see a team that I hate to sound like I'm a Pollyanna for your head coach, but he's right. This is a better football team than their record and a better football team than we saw on Sunday. Now they have to go out and prove it. I live in the state of Florida, and I liken the Titans situation to the Jacksonville Jaguars, a division rival. When is the good drafting, the good front office work, the bringing in of good free agents, you know, good head coaches and staff, when's it going to pay off in wins? Because everyone can preach we're better, we can show it, we can do this, we can do that. But until you have W's to back it up, let's face it, no one can totally buy it. And everyone who's in the organization is aware of that. Jacksonville's in the same spot. The front office has done a nice job. Ownership's done an excellent job. You know, they got their quarterback of the future last year. Tennessee got theirs this year. When does it coalesce? When does it come together? That's what I've seen out of Tennessee. It's a much better football team. Look, could have closed out Buffalo, as you well know. 2-touchdown lead on Indianapolis, as you well know. Teams that are building find ways to not win those games. Once they get to that point and they get over the hump with someone, that could change the face of what they're doing. I'm not saying automatically now you put them in the Super Bowl, but now you don't get into the fourth quarter of those games and go, oh, well, they'll find a way to blow it. You and I went to the University of Tennessee. Did we not see that earlier this year? Oklahoma, right? Florida. Finally got over the hump against Georgia. Let's see how that translates for them. But Oklahoma and Florida were two games that teams that know how to win would have closed out. Tennessee didn't know how to win at that point.
Has Marcus Mariota been better, about the same, or not quite what you thought?
No, he's everything I thought. And frankly, there's nothing he can do that I would say he's better than what I thought, because I was very hooked on this kid, and you know that from our time together. I rated Winston a little bit ahead of him coming out strictly because of the pro aspects that Winston had run with playbooks and things of that nature. But as far as being sold on a young man, I'd have Mariota way ahead of Winston just because of that. I'm crazy about Marcus Mariota. So if there sounds like bias comes out, I've known him probably since he was a freshman sophomore at Oregon. Are we tight and do we text? No, none of that. But I've been around him. Manning camp situations, calling his games at Oregon, having to sit and spend time with him, listen to other people talk about him, observe him from a distance in his interactions with people. The thing that really jumped out that I don't think people really grabbed onto, and they kind of missed it, it was out there last year, was his toughness. Go back to the national championship game against Ohio State. He played a much better game in that game than people will ever give credit for, because Ohio State ran over Oregon. But if you plug in the tape, Marcus played very well in that game. And remember, he got hurt, Mike.
Yes.
He could have tapped out right there, right? Like, hey, I'm going pro. We're good. It was a shoulder injury. It was his throwing shoulder. And the kid refused to go out of the game. He wanted to keep playing. Did we not see that again on Sunday? There's a toughness to this young man. There's a steel to him that it's hard to look at and see because of his background and the cool and calm, you know, aura he projects. But that kid's going to fight you to the death. You know, some people will come out and, you know, they're going to spit tobacco and scream on the sidelines and shake their fists. And you say, oh, yeah, that guy, he's got the heart of it. He'll cut your heart out in no time. Well, Marcus will do the exact same thing to win a ball game, but he'll be a lot more surgical about it. The other guy just hack your chest open. Trust me on this. I'm sold on this kid. I think he's going to keep getting better, but he's going to take his lumps along the way. Look, you just lost Brian Schwenke at center, so now you got another center starting that's a rookie. You know, Taylor Lewan, as great as he is just a second-year guy. Didn't even play his whole rookie year because he was hurt. You know, you're trying to slide. Potasi obviously had a horrible time last week. He's going to get the I think he'll get the opportunity to go again this week. He'll keep getting better, but there will be times where it's going to be tough. And if his knee, in the shape that it's in, he's going to have to adapt his game a little bit more because the legs won't be there the same. That ball's got to get out of his hand from the pocket quicker.
Charles Davis, we look forward to having you in Nashville this weekend to call Tennessee Atlanta for Fox. Thanks so much for the time tonight on Titans Radio.
Thanks for having me, Mike. I look forward to seeing you and getting there to Nashville. Always a great time. You take care.
All right. Coach Ken Wisenhunt joins us for our next segment. You can call at 877-848-2671 or tweet us a question at Titans Radio.
Sports fans, looking for the ultimate game day experience? Let PrimeSport.com handle all your game day needs. PrimeSport.com is your source for tickets, airfare, hotel accommodations, VIP hospitality, and so much more. With over 100-plus professional and collegiate events, you will never miss your team in action this season. Nothing beats being there live. Book your official travel package to cheer on your favorite team at PrimeSport.com today.
It's go time, football fan. Time to go big. Go with your crew who love the game as much as you do. Go because staying home for home games is not an option this or any season. You go because you know packing the stands for the home field advantage could make all the difference. When getting in is everything, go with NFL Ticket Exchange, the only official ticket exchange of the NFL. 100% verified, 200% good to go. Now, go show the world what pride looks like with hashtag GoFace. Then, it's game on.
On October 26th, join the Tennessee Titans Women's Association for the 4th Annual Football 101 for Ladies presented by Lee Company. Female fans get the chance to learn more of the ins and outs of the game on a night that will feature several highlights, including an X's and O's session with Titans assistant head coach for defense, Dick LeBeau. Plus, the ladies will participate in a scrimmage coached by the entire Titans rookie class. For more information or to register for Football 101 for Ladies, visit TitansOnline.com/Football101.
Join the voice of the Titans, Mike Keith, and Titans left tackle Taylor Lewan for Titans Tonight on Thursday nights from 6 to 7 Central.
We're at Logan's Roadhouse.
Roadhouse
in Cool Springs.
The voice of the Titans, Mike Keith, sets down and gets the interesting perspective from left tackle Taylor Lewan.
My favorite show of all time is on Scrubs.
Scrubs?
Have you seen Scrubs?
I've seen Scrubs.
Yeah, that's my go-to for some reason.
On Titans Tonight, each Thursday night from 6 to 7 Central, only on Titans Radio.
Titans Radio's Ken Wisenhunt Show. A complete breakdown of this week's game. Straight from the head coach. This is Titans Radio.
Despite serious risks, millions of women and girls binge drink. Over 21,000 die each year as a consequence of drinking too much. For women, binge drinking is defined as having 4 or more drinks in a short period of time. About 1 in 8 women and 1 in 5 high school girls binge drink. Women consume an average of 6 drinks per binge. It puts women and girls at greater risk for breast cancer, sexual assault, heart disease, and unintended pregnancy. Binge drinking while pregnant can lead to miscarriage, sudden infant death syndrome, and fetal alcohol spectrum disorders. Most binge drinkers are not alcohol dependent. The U.S. dietary guidelines recommend those who drink do so in moderation, up to 1 drink per day for women or 2 for men. Pregnant women and underage youth shouldn't drink at all. For more information, visit cdc.gov/vital signs.
A boy born in Joplin, Missouri was fascinated by anything with wheels and a motor. The odds of him going on to fascinate millions with his talent? 1 in 260,000. The odds of this born racer having 157 career top 10 finishes in NASCAR? 1 in 125 billion. The odds of him winning both the Daytona 500 and the Brickyard 400 in the same year? 1 in 195 million. The odds of a child being diagnosed with autism? 1 in 68. I'm NASCAR driver Jamie McMurray, and my niece has autism. Learn more at autismspeaks.org/signs. Early diagnosis can make a lifetime of difference. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Head coach Ken Wisenhunt joins us on the aptly named Ken Wisenhunt Show. Glad to have you with us. 877-848-2671. Tweet us a question at Titans Radio. Coach, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Mike. Always good to see you.
You have made a roster move today. Brian Schwenke goes on IR, and you sign Joe Looney, who played for a couple of seasons with the San Francisco 49ers. Before I ask about Joe Looney, can you give us an update on Brian Schwenke, please?
Brian Schwenke had successful surgery yesterday and went very well. I spoke with him today, and he's actually doing pretty good. You know, obviously disappointed that his season is over, but the rehab on that won't be as bad as we thought it might be because of the success of the surgery, and very optimistic.
Great news. All right. Joe Looney, a veteran player that you bring in, can play center and guard, or so it appears.
Yes, we worked him out a few weeks ago just for that kind of contingency. We've been doing a few of those things over the past weeks just to kind of get a feel for the guys that are out there. So we brought him in. He's getting up to speed on the offense as quickly as possible, get reps tomorrow, and certainly needed because of the loss of Brian.
But the starter at center will be Andy Gallick.
Unless Taylor Lewan moves in and plays there. I mean, he tells me he can play every position. So, maybe we'll test him this week and see. But, it's looking like it's going to be Andy.
All right. Let's go to the phones. Malika in Nashville, our leadoff caller at 877-848-2671. Hello, Malika.
Hi, Mike. Hi, Coach. Mike, I love listening to you every Sunday on 104.5 The Zone. You're very awesome.
Well, thank you.
And, Coach, I just wanted to ask you, how is Marcus Mariota doing after the injury on Sunday, and will he play next week? And I'll hang up and listen to you. Thanks, guys.
She gets right to it.
Boy, no, there's no small talk there. Let's just get right to it. Well, Malika, thank you for your call. He's doing really well. I said yesterday that you would never know from watching him walk around the building that he had an injury, and he's responding well. It'll be a little bit of a progression this week. We'll see what he can do. Tomorrow will be the first stage just to see if he can do some things on the field and how his knee responds to that, and then we'll progress through the week. And I can't give you odds one way or another right now. He wants to play, but we're obviously going to be smart with it and make sure that he is physically okay to do that.
You certainly, I wouldn't think, make an announcement early in the week about what you're going to do with him. It would be later in the week if you make an announcement at all. But in terms of when the staff feels like they have to know, is that Thursday or could that go to Saturday? I'm talking about privately where you have to make your decision.
I think, Mike, it's a good question, and I think every week is different. When you're playing different opponents, there's different challenges that you face, different types of game plan things that you try to do. And, so I couldn't give you a hard and fast answer on that. Some weeks it could be earlier in the week. Some weeks it's later in the week you can get away with. So, and a lot of that is dependent upon if you can use some of the things from last week's plan, some of the things that you've been able to do. If it's a different defense and you have to radically change what you're doing, then obviously you want the next guy to get some reps and be prepared that way. So all of that plays into it. And, but I think also with Marcus, we just got to see. It really is a progression this week to see how he handles those things, because once again, he looks really good, but you won't really know until he gets on the field and tries to do some things.
Let's go to Bell Buckle for our next call, and we welcome Lee. Lee, you're on Titans Radio with head coach Ken Wisenhunt. Go right ahead.
Hey, thanks, Coach. Mike, he was talking to Charles Davis earlier in the show. He said Marcus is the tough guy. I believe it. I was back to the national championship last year. I watched that, and I believe Marcus is a tough guy. Coach, is there any chance he could be back by Carolina? Because I've actually got tickets for that game, so I'm hoping he is.
Well, Lee, that's a good question, and I can certainly understand the interest in your question. Yes, there is a great chance that he'll be back, barring any unforeseen circumstances for Carolina. He could be back this week, which you never know. We've got a few games until we play him, but we certainly feel like that he will be back at some point in the near future.
Ryan in Hendersonville, you're the next caller at 877-848-2671. Go right ahead for the coach.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Thanks. Good to talk to you, Coach. I just wanted to ask like a personal reflection question. Out of the seven coaches that were hired in 2014, only one coach has a worse record than us. And that's only because Tampa Bay has played one more game than us. As far as the seven coaches hired in that year, what would you say you would rank yourself 1 through 7, 1 being the best? I'll hang up.
Well, it's an interesting question. I don't really know who the seven coaches are. I don't remember keeping track of it, but obviously our record, you're measured with your record, so it wouldn't be up at the top just based on the record. But I think the one thing you got to keep in mind is every situation is different. And, you know, some teams have less change, some teams have more change. Those things all play into that. But, you know, it's not something that we're happy about. Certainly disappointed that we haven't won more games here. But, you know, we're working hard to correct that.
Chris sends us a Twitter question, and you can send your question at Titans Radio. Why isn't the combo of Kendall Wright and Dorial Green-Beckham on the field more often together? And is DGB's hammy and playing shape why he's being slow played?
Well, the big thing is, let's not forget, DGB is a young player. And young players, when they're thrown into the fire, have a tendency to make mistakes. And one of the things that's really critical for the quarterback is to know where this guy's going to be and that they'll be on the same page. So DGB didn't play football for 20 months before he came here. He didn't play in a game. So we've been working him in. In fact, last week he got 26 snaps, I think someone told me, in the game. So he's getting more and more plays, and that's going to continue to go because you have to bring him along and get him ready to play and play him because he's a good, talented player. So we're hopeful that that'll continue to improve. But you don't want to just throw a guy in there because the quarterbacks have got to be comfortable with him, know where he's going to be, know how he's going to run his routes, because in this league the windows are so tight, the timing's got to be good, and you got to build some of that. And remember now, he missed a lot of the OTAs because of an injury with his hamstring, and that's all part of it.
Nate in Nashville, we welcome you to Titans Radio. Go right ahead with your question.
Hey, Coach, how you doing?
I'm doing good, thank you.
I actually have two questions for you. One is, who did y'all prepare more for on the offensive side of Atlanta? And are you going to keep up with the clock more because of the last 2 weeks with the refs and the clock management?
Okay. Who do we prepare for more in Atlanta? I don't know if you're talking about a specific player or what you mean by that. And the clock management question, I'm not really sure.
I think what he's talking about is the league has certainly had some clock problems. Do you watch it more closely after what happened in the Pittsburgh-San Diego game? I'm certainly taking liberties, but that's my guess.
Yeah, you know, that's a great question. I think human nature would say, yes, you do that. You always kind of keep track of the clock, certainly more towards the end of a quarter or the end of a half than you do during the normal course of a quarter. If it's 12 minutes left in the first quarter, you're not really paying a lot of attention to the clock, but you certainly do that in the last 2 minutes of a half or even a quarter, because a lot of times you're trying to work the clock so you can, you know, you're changing the field. Sometimes weather conditions can play into those kind of things too. So, but we are a lot more aware of that, especially in those situations because of what has happened.
preparing for Atlanta, I mean, you got to go with their big three right now, and that's Matt Ryan, Devontae Freeman, and certainly Julio Jones.
Yeah, those guys have all statistically had very good years, and they've done a good job. They're good football players, and they're playing at a high level. So we obviously got our work cut out for us this week preparing for those guys.
Joe in Antioch, you'll be our next caller. Go right ahead for head coach Ken Wisenhunt.
How you doing, Coach? Hope you're having a good night. My question is real simple. Based on Cody Sensabaugh's play lately, do we see Bleedy Ray or even maybe Cody Riggs being a better option in the nickel? Or where are you going with that heading into Atlanta and their powerhouse offense that they've got?
Well, actually, Cody's been doing a great job for us at the nickel, and he's really worked hard there, and so he'll stay there because he's been effective in that role. And obviously, with Parrish Cox and where he is, we feel good about having Bleedy and Cody both on the team, and we'll have to certainly work both of those guys in there as well. So, but once again, I go back to what I said about Cody. He's done a nice job at the nickel and really taken hold of that position.
The General sends in this question via Twitter. Any thought of sticking with a set personnel instead of a rotation at running back?
You know what? Well, you always like to get guys in there and get them to play. I mean, if you look at our backs, and I know that everybody wants us to have one back, but Dexter has done a nice job for us, and he's been made some big plays for us. So, and Antonio starting to come on. So all three of these guys have been productive at times. And, it's things that you do think about, those kind of things. But with the way we're set up offensively and trying to give people problems with matchups, you always want to incorporate different guys. And if we get to a point where we feel like one guy is really running it well and we go that direction, we don't have any problem doing that.
Richard in Murfreesboro, thanks for calling tonight at 877-848-2671. Go right ahead for the coach.
Hey, I appreciate it. Thank you for taking the call. And two questions. One was essentially, what's the vibe like right now with the offensive line after the Schwenk injury and obviously the reactions, especially with, Chance Warmack? And what can we do to kind of, what's your thought on helping the defense, what we need to work at in closing the games and not losing a little bit of lead? I will hang up and listen. Thank you.
Well, that's a good job. I don't know the vibe of our line. Obviously, Schwenke really liked him, and they're disappointed that he got hurt. But they also like Andy. They recognize how hard he's worked and certainly support him in that position. I think the first chance that we really get together after going through the game Monday is tomorrow when we get on the practice field, and we'll have a better sense for that. But this group of men, generally will rally around each other, and it's a tight bond. Those guys have been in the room together for a lot of weeks now, and I think that they'll come out ready to play, and that's an important piece of it.
Nissan is a big fan of the Tennessee Titans, so if you see a pickup truck driving around Nashville with a Titan paint job, there's a good chance it's one of our 11,000 employees. We encourage wearing your colors to support the Titans. It shows pride for our hometown football team. However, we don't recommend trying to catch a show at the Ryman while wearing one of those big old flamehead things. It won't go over well. Trust us. Nissan, official auto partner of the Tennessee Titans and Nashville Proud. See you at the game.
Join the voice of the Titans, Mike Keith, and Titans left tackle Taylor Lewan for Titans Tonight on Thursday nights from 6 to 7 Central.
We're at Logan's Roadhouse.
Roadhouse
at Cool Springs.
The voice of the Titans, Mike Keith, sets down and gets the interesting perspective from left tackle Taylor Lewan.
My favorite show of all time is on Scrubs.
Scrubs?
Have you seen Scrubs?
I've seen Scrubs.
Yeah, that's my go-to for some reason.
On Titans Tonight, each Thursday night from 6 to 7 Central, only on Titans Radio.
On October 26th, join the Tennessee Titans Women's Association for the 4th Annual Football 101 for Ladies presented by Lee Company. Female fans get the chance to learn more of the ins and outs of the game on a night that will feature several highlights, including an X's and O's session with Titans assistant head coach for defense, Dick LeBeau. Plus, the ladies will participate in a scrimmage coached by the entire Titans rookie class. For more information or to register for Football 101 for Ladies, visit TitansOnline.com/Football101.
Sports fans, looking for the ultimate game day experience? Let PrimeSport.com handle all your game day needs. PrimeSport.com is your source for tickets, airfare, hotel accommodations, VIP hospitality, and so much more. With over 100-plus professional and collegiate events, you will never miss your team in action this season. Nothing beats being there live.
Book your official travel package to cheer on your favorite team at primesport.com today.
Your calls for the Titans head coach next. 877-TITANS-1. This is Titans Radio.
Ranger Station, Ranger speaking.
Yeah, hi. I'd like to report a bear sighting.
Location?
In the forest, near the side of the road.
No need for alarm, sir. The forest is where bears live.
But this was no ordinary bear.
No ordinary bear?
Yeah, one second I'm having a smoke taken in the view. Next thing I know, I am face to face with Smokey Bear.
Let me guess, Smokey had a tip for you.
He did. He must have seen me toss my cigarette on the ground. He told me never to do that because it only takes one spark to start a wildfire.
He's a smart bear. Did you know that 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans? That means 9 out of 10 wildfires can be prevented.
That's what Smokey said. I had no idea.
That's why Smokey's famous, and you're not.
Good point.
If you see someone in danger of starting a wildfire, step in and make a difference, because 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans. Brought to you by Smokey Bear, the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
All right, everybody in the car, let's go.
What are we going to do first when we get there, Mom? Go for a hike?
Sure, if you want.
What about canoeing? Can we go canoeing, too?
I don't see why.
What about a bike ride? No, I want to fish.
Okay.
I've never been fishing.
Honey, we can do it all.
Are we there yet?
Yep, we're here.
Already? No way. Come on, come on.
It's a short drive from your neighborhood to your naturehood. Visit discovertheforest.org to find a neighborhood park or green space near you. Also, find fun activities to do like boating and biking or camping and hiking, plus much more. It's all right in your naturehood. A public service announcement brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Forest Service.
The Ken Wisenhunt Show continues on Titans Radio at 877-848-2671. Tweet us a question at Titans Radio. Back to the phones. Let's go to Chapel Hill, and Jeff is phoning in tonight. Hello, Jeff.
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
Good, thank you.
Hey, Coach. I was just wondering, when do you think Sammy Hill might be back in action?
Well, Jeff, he's going to work tomorrow with the idea of getting ready to play in the game. That's the first time we've been able to do that. He worked himself back into practice last week, and, you know, he was just getting through some of the final stages of it with his knee. So when we talk today, the idea is tomorrow he's practicing like he's preparing to play this week. And if we make it through this week of practice well, then we'll think about doing just that.
Love to have him back for that run defense.
Yeah, we would. He is a good football player, and while our other guys have stepped up and played well in his absence, it's always good to have those guys.
Yeah, Daquan Jones and Al Woods continue to make things happen.
Really have played well for us. It's nice that, remember last year when we talked about Daquan Jones at the end of the year starting the game, and he's really borne that out and been a good player for us this year.
Let's go back to the phones, and let's go to Gallatin. This is Buford. Buford, glad to have you with us on the Ken Wisenhunt Show. Thanks for phoning.
All right. Yes. Hey, Coach, I just want to check and see when you go get that big back in there, Brother Cobbs. I like to see some good power back in there, and I think you're doing a good job, but I like to see you crack your whip a little bit more and get the defense a little fired up and just keep up the good work.
Well, certainly I appreciate your call, and I'll make sure I make note of that, see if I can crack that whip a few times this week and get them rolling. But David actually is back on the field practicing tomorrow for the first time. We've got a couple of weeks before you could activate him, but we'll get a chance to see where he is physically, and hopefully that'll go well, and in a couple of weeks we'll be able to make a decision to bring him back up.
Almost a perfect case in terms of the injured reserve be able to come back, and the period of time gave him plenty of time to get over the injury and be able to do some conditioning before he comes back.
Well, the greatest value is, Mike, he can actually practice. So that really helps. We didn't have to use a roster spot for him, and now he can get a couple of weeks of practice in, so we really get a good assessment of that calf, which is an important piece of it, because, you know, those things are dicey at best, and you don't want to try to rush it back too quickly and then feel the effects of it.
What's the plan with Parrish Cox this week after he starts the ball game and then has to leave?
Well, we'll see. We'll see how it responds. I think that, you know, obviously he had a little tweak in the game, which was a setback, and that wasn't good. We didn't think that was going to happen. So we'll see how he progresses through the week this week. It's got to feel well. It's got to feel good in order for him to play. Hopefully we can keep our fingers crossed that that'll happen, but until we see him get through it and do it, I don't, you know, we can't say that'll be the case.
Same tact with Avery Williamson's hamstring as well?
Well, yeah, I think that Avery will potentially practice tomorrow and we'll get an assessment of where he is and hopefully that'll be good. I think he was close last week, but, you know, hopefully with the weekend and after missing the game that he'll be back and ready to go.
Next call comes from Eagleville. This is Cody. Cody, we're glad to have you with us at 877-848-2671. Go right ahead for Coach Wisenheim.
I appreciate it, Mike. Coach, before I ask my question, I do want to say that even though the outcomes have not been what we were all particularly looking forward to, I'm still very happy with the progress that the team has made so far. But my question is, the offense, it's for the play calling. I feel like there's a lot of screen passes that are called, and I feel like our screen passes are not as successful as they could be. And so my question to you was, why do you go to the screen passes often as opposed to possibly even just like a short outs or a short slant on, like, especially on like a third and long? And I'll hang up and listen.
Well, I can tell you why we did it in the last game is because we were having protection issues and we didn't want to expose the quarterback. And you'll see a number of teams in the league in those situations. If you get it into the hands of a guy like Dexter in space, a lot of times he can make guys miss and get that first down. You're exactly right about what you said in the first case. We didn't. We missed a couple of blocks. One of the things that's the trickiest about running the screens is not necessarily getting the screen to the back. A lot of times it's your second or third lineman and who they are looking to block. There was one screen we tried to throw to the tight end where it was man coverage, man underneath two deep coverage. And he had a guy that was spying him and we blew it and didn't block that guy. If we had blocked that one guy and screened him out from Fasano, he'd have run 30 yards with it untouched. So a lot of times in screens, it depends on whether it's zone, whether it's man, you know, you're always guessing. You're always playing the chess match with the defense. And the only thing I'll disagree with you is we have had some real success with screens this year. We've been, in fact, there have been a lot of big plays that we have made with screens. So I agree with you on the third down. Sometimes those are ones where you're trying to get the ball out of your quarterback's hands quickly and have a good chance to try to get that. And I'm sure we saw some of that in the last game. But you know, we try to mix the screens in there because they're a good change of pace. When you're always trying to put your backs on blocking these big linebackers, when they come in and try to run you over and you all of a sudden slip them and get into the open space, it'll slow them down in their rushes sometimes.
The Titans have never been a good screen team. You've run probably more good screens in the first five games this year than we've seen in years and years and years. We know that your background as an assistant includes 6 years with the Pittsburgh Steelers, and their screen game has historically been fabulous. Why have the Steelers always been so good at it, and what does it take to be a good screen team?
That's a good question. I don't think there is a tangible thing that says you can be a good screen. A lot of it, a good screen team. A lot of it is timing. A lot of it is working on those things through OTAs, through camp, getting a feel for those timing things. And then even more importantly, a lot of times it's tying it in with some of the things you do in your pass game. So if you're turning the line and leaving the back on the edge guy, which you have to mix up, you don't want to do it a lot because sometimes those are big guys and they can't hold up. Then one of those times you can do that exact same thing and slip him out for a screen, and that can give you some big yardage because when you play a team that's aggressive and really coming hard up the field, when your offensive lineman can set quick and dump them and then get out in front of the screening back, that can lead to some big plays. And I vividly remember a play against Buffalo where we threw it to Antonio that was a 25-yard play off of a screen like that. And he had to break a tackle because we didn't quite get the block by the lineman, but it was a well-executed play that was a big play in that game.
Rick in Hawaii is our next caller. Rick, good afternoon.
Captain, hurry up.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Fine, thank you. Go right ahead.
Hey, Coach, I'm calling you from Hawaii. I'm a good friend of Coach Watterson, but I just want to let you guys know I was listening to your radio all morning, and people have been bragging on the Tennessee Titans after a bad loss this past weekend, but I think you guys are doing a really good job.
You guys are much, much improved in the past years, and I think there's nothing but positive things ahead for the Titans.
Well, thank you very much. That's a very nice thing for you to say. It's a tough, been a tough week for us because of that last game. Obviously, that one hurt, but we've got some good young players, and we're excited about continuing to grow.
Thanks for the call, Rick. Atlanta is a team you saw in the first preseason game. Any help preparing for this game based on the fact that you saw them 2 months ago?
You know, not really. I mean, there's some things that they do that are similar, but they're doing them with different guys in different situations. They've tweaked some things, so they're a little bit different team. I think you have an idea of the scheme, but, you know, every game is different, and in-season games are definitely much different than preseason.
And you didn't see Devontae Freeman or Tevin Coleman at running back on August the 13th either.
Why, thank you for reminding me of that, Mike. We're quite aware of that, but we'll do our best to prepare for them.
Well, the thing that has been so impressive about Freeman, and I don't think anybody expected this, he leads the NFL in total yards from scrimmage. Is that a surprise with the kind of offense that they run, or is that sort of what you might expect from a back in this sort of system?
Well, I think this is his second year in the league. He's been with that group of guys. I think one of the things that really helps is when you've got a player like Julio Jones outside, because he takes a lot of the attention that will allow your running game to be a little bit better in those situations. So probably a little bit of both, but you know, certainly they got a quarterback that's running that offense that's been a good player in the league for a while, and those guys have been together for a while, and they're benefiting from that.
And Julio Jones, there's not a receiver in the league playing better than Julio Jones at this moment.
No, he is playing very well.
What about his game, when you watch him on tape, what really jumps out to you about how Julio Jones plays that really makes him outstanding?
Well, he lines up in a lot of different spots, which that in itself is problematic just because of that. He's big, and he's fast, and he's got good hands. So he can run a number of different routes. And, you know, obviously I'm not comparing or saying that DGB is going to be like that, but when you look at a guy that's big and fast like Julio is, and then like we see in DGB, you know, ultimately people ask, why don't you play DGB more? And, well, one of the things that makes DGB so good is that he is big and that he's fast. And we'd like to get to the point where he could be like that, where we move him into different spots and create matchup problems. And it's just a question of time. But really, the big thing about Julio is because he's able to go into so many different positions, and you add that with the combination of size and speed, makes it a tough matchup.
It's an interesting matchup overall playing these Falcons under Dan Quinn, because they've played a ton of close games this year, but you would figure they're a team with a lot of confidence because they've been able to win four of them late.
Yeah, they have. They've been in similar situations in games than we have, and they've been able to find a way to win them at the end. And that's important. You know, the ball's bounced their way in a couple of them. The Washington game, they intercepted a pass that wasn't well thrown and won the game with that. And, you know, there have been a couple of those type of things. And I'm not banging on them. They're a good football team, and they're playing well. You know, that's just the way it goes sometimes. That shows you how close the margins are in this league, and certainly they've won their share, where we've been in a couple that, you know, you'd be feeling pretty good about us had we pulled out the Indianapolis or the Buffalo game, which we certainly shouldn't. We certainly could have.
Coach, good luck against the Falcons at Nissan Stadium on Sunday.
Thank you, Mike.
You probably know that Nissan is a big fan of the Tennessee Titans. What you don't know is that in 1997, we established a huge powertrain plant right here in Tennessee, just minutes away from where the Titans play. That's right. We've been building high-quality, powerful powertrains ever since. You could say we're train experts. Powertrain experts, that is. So if the pain train ever needs an upgrade, just give us a call. Nissan, official auto partner of the Tennessee Titans and Nashville Proud. See you at the game.
Attention men, have you ever had that feeling that you're not lasting long enough in the bedroom? Sometimes it feels like it's in your head, and sometimes it feels like your body won't cooperate. But the Tennessee Men's Clinic is now offering a new treatment for men to help you enjoy intimacy longer and to stop the disappointment that 30% of all men experience. Call 615-200-9160 to try the new pill that urologist John Caulfield calls a game changer. 615-200-9160. Online at TennesseeMen'sClinic.com.
It's go time, football fan. Time to go big. Go with your crew who love the game as much as you do. Go because staying home for home games is not an option this or any season. You go because you gotta be there when grit meets gridiron. And packing the stands for the home field advantage could make all the difference. When getting in is everything, go with NFL Ticket Exchange, the only official ticket exchange of the NFL. 100% verified, 200% good to go. Now, go show them what pride looks like.
Hey, Lady Titans fan, have you heard about Titan True, the official women's fan club of your Tennessee Titans? Join Titan True, presented by Bridgestone, and you receive exclusive access to special events, a Titans game ticket, a gift pack of ladies' merchandise, and other VIP benefits all year round. Sign up today at TitanTrue.com. That's TitanTrue.com. Titan True, presented by Bridgestone, the official women's fan club of your Tennessee Titans.
Titans Radio's Ken Wisenhunt Show. Complete coverage of your Titans from the NFL's best. This is Titans Radio.
We teach them how to tie their shoes. They teach us how to live our lives. We teach them long division. They teach us how to bank online. Our children will always outgrow us, but for the first time in generations, they may not outlive us. Over the last 25 years, the percent of overweight children aged 6 to 11 has doubled. The percent of overweight teenagers tripled. Obesity kills. Heart disease, high blood pressure, diabetes, all are linked to obesity, a problem that could be greatly reduced just by having a place to exercise. Right now, people are working hard to put parks and playgrounds where children live, where children will use them. Finding out how you can help is as easy as tying your shoes. Log on to earthshare.org now. A public service message brought to you by EarthShare and the Ad Council.
This is a public service announcement test from TakeMeFishing.org to determine if you need a fishing license and boat registration before heading out on the water. Let's begin. Are you a bear? Do you have a beak? Does your name rhyme with Auld Beagle? Do you dart in front of cars? Were you hatched? Do you have webbed feet? No, I mean like a... Do you have fur? I'm not talking back hair. Does your boat fly south for the winter with the other boats? Regardless of how you answer, you need to be licensed and registered because it helps local conservation efforts protect the very natural resources you enjoy boating and fishing in for generations to come.
The Ken Wisenhunt Show continues. Mike Keith, along with TitansOnline.com's Jim Wyatt, as we talk about a few things going on around the league. One of the hot topics right now, do you believe in the Carolina Panthers, who are 5-0? Jim Wyatt, do you believe in the Carolina Panthers?
I'm going to have to start believing in them because I've kind of taken the approach I need to see more, and every week they seem to win a game I don't think they're going to win, including this past weekend at Seattle. So I think it's a team that seems like they found a little bit of magic, quarterbacks playing with some confidence. I think I have to start to believe at this point.
Well, they've won back-to-back division titles. Certainly going to have to battle Atlanta if they're going to win the NFC South this year, but they look awfully good, and they'll be here on November 15th.
Yeah, it'll be an interesting matchup. You know, you look at the schedule. That's why it's always impossible. People say, you know, when you look at the schedule, and I know fans start putting wins and losses next to games, and you just don't know how the season's going to play out. And I think looking at that Panthers game now, I think it looks a lot tougher than maybe it did at the start of the season. So, you know, I think the Titans got to find a little mojo themselves so they'll be, you know, hitting on all cylinders when that game gets here.
There's been controversy for weeks in Indianapolis about the status of Chuck Pagano, the Colts head coach, after the fake punt debacle on Sunday night in the loss to the Patriots. How much do you feel like his position is hurt based on that?
I think it's hurt, but I think the more that comes out about that play, I think the more you're realizing that it wasn't necessarily his fault. They had a backup in there playing as the snapper who had never practiced that play before, and really it was just a player who botched the assignment and did something he wasn't supposed to do. And people say, yeah, that falls back on coaching. But again, the guy that was supposed to do that, who had practiced that throughout the season, wasn't in there. This guy was a last minute fill in. They apparently had some kind of secret signals that they give to each other to know when they're going to snap it or when to abort the play. And the guy just wasn't clued in on that stuff. So I understand a little bit more than certainly I did when I first saw it and thought, what the heck are they doing?
The gist of it is they weren't ever supposed to snap it with the look they got, right?
That's right. And I mean, it was almost comical. And I saw some stuff on Twitter, you know, with Beavis and Butthead, you know, and their heads put on top of the bodies of the center and the guy receiving the snap. It was just almost a gave you a little bit of comedic relief there to see how it played out. But, yeah, you're right. It wasn't supposed to be snapped. But it really hurt the Colts. I mean, obviously that was a momentum changer.
In some ways, it almost seems like now with everything coming out, it helps Pagano because he took the brunt of it without making an excuse. I wonder if owner Jim Irsay is going to buy that.
Yeah, well, I think so. I mean, I think the more comes out, I think he will. But I think, I think coaches do themselves a world of good in the locker room when you fall on the sword like that and take it upon yourself and not blame it on the player. So he will get some traction there.
Jim White, is there anybody that you've seen so far in the NFL that is in the class of New England and Green Bay?
Not yet. I mean, I think, much as I've been impressed with we mentioned Carolina and as much as Atlanta coming in here this Sunday at 5-1, much as they've looked good at times, I think New England appears to be head and shoulders above everybody in the AFC right now. And, Denver, right when I think that they may be for real, they just continue to struggle so much on offense. They're winning ugly, and the defense is a lot better, but they just turn the ball over too much, and you're not going to be able to get away with that against a good team. So those are the two teams that are standing out right now.
Jim, how are the Atlanta Falcons 5-1? Their keys.
Yeah, their key. I mean, Devontae Freeman, the running back who just does it all. I mean, he's got 9 touchdowns in 6 games this year. He's also, had a good year catching the football. I mean, he's got 296 receiving yards. He's a big, big part of it. Julio Jones off to a great start, 638 yards after 6 games. I mean, he's on pace for an incredible season. Matt Ryan's playing well. I mean, he doesn't have huge numbers, 8 touchdowns, 4 interceptions, but he doesn't have to have huge numbers when they're able to run the ball like they have with Freeman over 500 already. I think those are the biggest keys certainly offensively. I mean, I think in a lot of ways, Atlanta, it was a quick fix last week for Miami with Campbell coming in here as an interim coach and changing the mindset of his team and the attitude. You know, that worked for a week. We'll see how that goes here as the season plays out. But with Dan Quinn taking over in Atlanta, he's really changed the tone in the locker room. Has those guys believe, and they finished 6-10 last year. Now they're 5-1. And I just think it's a big mindset change in Atlanta that has them confident and playing good football. Right now, throw out that New Orleans game, and they were looking like one of the top teams in the league.
Jim White, Dan Quinn, a defensive guy, and yet the Falcons' defense, while better, still not fixed?
Probably not. Yeah, I don't think so. You know, certainly not after the game against the Saints where they look like they could be had a little bit. I don't think it's there yet, and I think maybe that takes a little bit of time. The offensive playmakers were in place when Dan Quinn took over, and I think he's still kind of rebuilding that defense. But there's no doubt in my mind he's going to get it fixed.
What's the storyline from the Titans locker room as they begin practice tomorrow?
Well, it starts at the quarterback position. I mean, Marcus Mariota, hit way too often against the Dolphins and hit, a couple of times that, probably too late. And, as a result, he ended with a sprained MCL that Ken Whisenhunt talked about on Monday in his press conference. And the storyline throughout the week is going to be, can he protect himself or can he play where he's comfortable and able to move around and do things to keep himself out of harm's way. And we're not going to know that today. We're probably not going to know it tomorrow. We have to wait to the end of the week to get an idea of how he does on the practice field and how he looks. And I don't think it's going to be – I've had people ask me, what if he says on Sunday morning, I'm good, I can play. I fully expect Marcus Mariota to say that on Sunday. But the decision will be made based on how he feels throughout the course of the week, how much he's able to practice, what the trainers think about him, what the coaches think about him, and whether or not he has done enough to convince them that he is a safe play.
You are writing about at TitansOnline.com what all Titan fans are talking about. Who is new center rookie Andy Gallick?
Yeah, I've kind of kidded. Swung it by Taylor Lewan. He's kind of anti-Taylor Lewan, and he's a real soft-spoken, politically correct kid as far as how he handles himself in the locker room. On the field, he's just a tough, hard-nosed football player out of Boston College who, coaching staff and front office really high on. He is a respectful young man. He called Brian Swinkey his mentor. Said Swinkey kind of took him under his wing when he got here, showed him how to watch film, showed him what he needed to do on the practice field to get better. And as a result of Swinkey's injury, now Gaelic's in his place. So, hopefully, he'll get up to speed this week and be in a good position to help this team on Sunday.
One of the keys for the Titan defense, can they get Avery Williamson and Parrish Cox back from hamstring injuries? Are you optimistic?
Well, hamstrings are tough. I mean, and as we saw what happened with Parrish Cox, he got himself in a position to be active and start the game, but then had to come out. And Avery Williamson kind of worked his way through the practice week where he thought maybe he could give it a go on Sunday, but it just wasn't there. I think I am optimistic by what I've seen from Wesley Woodyard in there. I think he's played well, both replacing Brown and then staying in the lineup last week when Avery was down, when he was lined up alongside of Brown. I think Woodyard's played well. Need to get Williamson back in there, though, and I think when it comes to hamstring injuries, you just got to have to keep your fingers crossed a little bit.
Good stuff from Jim Wyatt, as usual, at TitansOnline.com. We always appreciate Jim taking part with us on Titans Radio, but go to TitansOnline.com and check out some of the great things he's written about already early this week. More good things to come. Complete Titans coverage from six-time Tennessee Sports Writer of the Year, Jim Wyatt. Again, it's www.TitansOnline.com, the official website of your Tennessee Titans. Titans and the Falcons this weekend at Nissan Stadium. Elsewhere around the league, the Thursday night game, intriguing. Seattle is at San Francisco. Sunday, Buffalo, Jacksonville from London at 8:30 Central Time. The noon slate features Minnesota at Detroit. Of course, you know Atlanta's at Tennessee. New Orleans at Indianapolis. Washington plays host to Tampa Bay. Pittsburgh on their way to Kansas City. The Jets and the Patriots at noon. A big one in the AFC East. Important game for both of those teams. Cleveland Browns play at St. Louis. Miami tries to make it two in a row as they take on another AFC South team. That's Houston. Houston at Miami, a noon game. Late afternoon, Oakland is at San Diego, and Dallas set to take on the New York Giants. Sunday night football, Philadelphia suddenly having won two in a row and taking the lead in the AFC East, or the NFC East, I should say. They play at unbeaten Carolina, one to watch. Monday night football, Baltimore at Arizona. The Ravens having a tough, tough time this year, and they are going to a tough, tough place to play. So Baltimore at Arizona rounding out week 7 overall for the National Football League. Again, it's the Titans taking on the Atlanta Falcons coming up. It's homecoming weekend. Nearly 40 former Titans players will be on hand at Nissan Stadium to help celebrate homecoming weekend at Nissan Stadium as the Titans play the Falcons. Titans Radio coverage produced by Alan Kirby, Titans Radio producer Brad Willis, Traffic Director Kendra Holt, Director of Sales Hunter Rice, General Manager Allison Warren, Operations Manager Charlie Cook. I'm Mike Keith, reminding you the Titans host the Falcons Sunday at Nissan Stadium. Titans Countdown on the air Sunday at 11 Central, noon Eastern on this Titans Radio station. Thanks for listening and have a great night, everybody.
The Ken Wisenhunt Show, an exclusive production of Titans Radio. Get more on this week's game at TitansRadio.com. This is Titans Radio.